Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm going to tell you today about some of the recent lessons that I've learned with setting up, acquiring short-term rentals, setting them up, working with different teams, and just the whole opening up everything, and just sharing some of my recent experiences that I've been going through with getting my properties up and going. So, for those of you who don't know, And the crazy thing is I still have more properties I have to get up and going in the next few months too. So maybe I'll come back again and be like, guys, you know what? Just don't even bother with buying a short-term rental. But anyway, we've had some recent lessons and I figured it's about time that, you know, I share. Nothing's ever perfect. And I think a lot of people, they expect from listening to podcasts or YouTube videos or whatever that things are going to go well and it's going to be this smooth, simple process. But in reality, it's quite a journey and experience. And for those of you, I've said this many times, like for those of you who have never bought a short-term rental yet, it is something that once you get it set up and launched and going, like you have accomplished something really, really big that you can't say you've accomplished until you've done it, because it is quite an experience. And so I want to share a couple things that I've learned that I know will be helpful to a few of you who are going to be buying and launching properties soon. And the crazy thing is, like, I've been doing this for several years, and as I've started to scale and hiring more and more resources to help me, I'm finding that doing it a certain way is easier than others. And so what I mean by that is launching it a certain way can be easier than trying to piecemeal it in different ways. And so I want to talk about the pros and cons of that, because I've done both recently. I've launched a property where I hired. So I guess we'll break this down to three parts. So I hired a designer who was supposed to project manage the property. And then another property, I hired a designer and then a contractor separately. And then they were like working together. And then the last one was I was the contractor and subbing out everything and getting the property ready to go and kind of playing quarterback and from that angle. And so each one of these has a series of pros and cons. Now, let me preface this by saying that just because certain ways that I did it I'm not happy with or didn't really work out for me, that doesn't mean it can't work out for you. Just some, be careful. Okay, that's basically what I'm saying, because that's the lessons that I've learned is, hey, if you're going to do it this way, watch out for X, Y, and Z, because this is where it can catch you and where it can set you back is usually what happens, and which means you lose money and you know that's pushing out your cash flow even further. So let's dive into it. Okay, so the first way was, I want to talk about the Asheville property we launched in December, and this one was the disaster. I'm going to flat out say it. And if you guys want to know names, please reach out to me privately. I'm not going to say names on the podcast, but I will not refer this person. That is, it was a complete, utter disaster for design. So we hired, so when I say we, myself and my partner who acquired this property in Asheville in July of 2024, we engaged with a local designer to furnish, set up, and do some remodels. We had to redo a few bathrooms, redo a kitchen, do some flooring, drywall. It was a decent renovation project. Our initial budget going in was about $175,000 for design, decor, furnishings, everything. Now, we also got a $75,000 credit. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is a 5-bedroom property. So we're talking about all in with our credit, you're at $250,000. So you're renovating, you're doing your design decor, the ground up amenities, all on this 5-bedroom property with mountain views. So we engaged with this designer, First off, one of the big problems that you'll run into, especially with more popular designers, is that they, you know, have a list of properties they're currently working on. And although they're interested in taking you on as a client, they put you on a list, meaning like you have to wait. So if you wait to engage with a designer after you close on a property, that can set you back even further. So that's exactly what happened. So first off, our designer didn't even start on the property until about September. So we closed July 19th, and then September rolled around, and all of a sudden, boom, the designer is able to actually start on the property. So we lost about a month and a half from not having all of our ducks in a row. Okay. So that was kind of like a nuisance number one. But if, like I said, if you talk to a really popular designer, you're going to be on a wait list. And so the lesson I learned from that is, what we did the second time a little bit better is we engaged with the designer when we got the property under contract. Okay. Now I know that when you get a proper, when you work with a designer, you have to pay a fee, right? They want, because they're not going to just, they'll look at your property and say, yeah, I can design it, you know, and then tell you some high level stuff, but they're not going to like start designing it until you pay them money. And there's usually like some like non, you know, refundable deposit you have to pay in. Usually it's about $5,000 or something around there, $3,000 to $5,000. Which is, you know, that's not chump change to pay someone if it doesn't work out. And so what I'd say is get all of your ducks in a row, have someone already vetted, ready to go. And then when you're past due diligence and you feel really comfortable, like, you know, you're going to close on the property and the financing is good, your lender's like, yep, we're good to go. I would say you could wait till clear to close. We're a little more aggressive. We wait about 2 weeks before we, you know, the close date. And well, some of the properties we're getting into now, we're already just rolling. We're just rolled with it. Like, we got it under contract. We're doing our due diligence. We're already in conversation with the designers. And then like, we know we're going to like, there's no issues. There's no like permitting, all that crap. We just go ahead and roll with it, pay the deposit and move. But guess what happens day one, when it closes, they're in there, you know, and that helps expedite the cash flow, you know, getting launched and getting bookings and the cash flow to come in. So, but this one, we didn't do that. Now, this is one of our first ones that my partner and I did together. And so anyway, so that was kind of, okay, you know, we should know better, right? And then the designer comes in and she starts and it's like, oh yeah, like this, all this stuff will be done by the end of, you know, should be the end of October. Well, you don't know what happened in Asheville, North Carolina. There was a big hurricane. So October, property didn't have power and part of it flooded. And so like, you know, we had to fix a bunch of things in the property. And then, but the designer on top of that too, she didn't start working on that till the end of October. So we pretty much missed an entire month. Granted, 2 to 3 weeks of it, you know, is like excusable because of, you know, the hurricane and everything. But, you know, then it's like, look, like, you know, this was already supposed to, so all of September was worked on and this happened towards the beginning of October, but it was supposed to be done by the middle of October. So really, it should have only set her back by 2 weeks. But lo and behold, we go and check out the property in person to see what the damage was. And I mean, thankfully, there wasn't a lot of damage to the property, just lost power and some flooding in the basement. And so it's not even remotely close. So we're like, okay, this is going to take a while. So they started back up towards the end of October into November, and they spent all of November, still not done. She's like, look, middle of December, it's going to be ready to go. We're like, okay, cool. So we come in the middle of December to check out the property, and it's still not finished. There's a lot of stuff, the landscaping's not done. There's just things that, like, you, if you were actually at the property and you actually cared about the property, you'd be like, this isn't going to make sense as a short term. Like, you know, like just little things like the landscaping, there was zero landscaping. It was just like muddy tracks all around the house. And you're like, what are we doing here? What's the plan? Oh, well, there's no plan. It's like, what? We can't have a property that looks like this on the outside. Like, that's a terrible presentation, you know, to a guest coming the first time. And so, and then there's no fire pit. There's no like other things. It was just like, what? Like, where was this? This was part of the plans, you know? And so long story short, okay, middle of December. Okay, great. End of December, we'll have all this stuff finished. Okay, so end of December. So we get some photos, preliminary photos, which were recommended. The designer referred the photographer because we couldn't get, you know, one of the Andrew Keller or Sam Smith to come in. And so we got some okay photos. You know, there's still stuff, few things missing, but we're like, we'll get another photographer. They'll go back. They'll get shots again, whatever. End of December. So we're like, all right, great.
we're going to go ahead and launch the property beginning of January. So January 1st, we drop the rates because I had this feeling deep down inside. I know that this property, like, it's going to have issues. Okay. And nothing major, but just like issues that, you know, we're not going to see. It's the first, you know, first gas, there's a big renovation. Something's not going to be right. So we dropped prices down. It was really cheap, like $250 a night on this big 5-bedroom that's in Asheville. And we had these guests that come in. And they were super sweet, but there was just, they literally gave us like 50 things wrong with the property. Like dishwasher wasn't hooked up. You know, like some of the drywall wasn't finished, like crazy stuff. The barrel sauna wasn't all the way assembled. The hot tub wasn't even working. Like all these things like that we were told that were good to go and ready to go weren't. And it was just like, holy crap, you know, wake up mode. Like what were, and then we call a designer who's supposed to be project managing this property. We're like, hey, what's going on? Like, can we get people out there? And she just ghosts us big time. Like, doesn't tell us, you know, like doesn't respond, you know, won't get back to us. And, you know, she's supposed to like get, you know, there's things that we paid her for that aren't at the property, you know, and there's contractors calling us, asking us for payments for work that she had contracted with them and she didn't pay them. Like that's super sketchy. Like we paid her the money to pay them, but she didn't pay them. And now she's not getting back to it. And so anyway, it was an absolute disaster. We had to go out there and we had to start subbing work out. Thankfully our cleaners out there are really, really, really good. And they had people that they could go and hire. And so we had to, on top of what we already paid, we had to go and pay to get stuff finished. And there's stuff that's still not 100% finished yet. And it was an absolute disaster. And this person, it was evident this person wasn't going to the property, wasn't actually managing the project, and was not, you know, really going through and trying to get our property ready to go in a timely manner. It took way too long. Given I get the hurricane and everything, but still took way too long. And for especially what was promised. So lessons learned from that. I think number one, we could have did a better job getting referrals. You know, it's nice to have to speak to and to someone who, you know, who explains what they're doing and they sound really nice. Oh yeah, I can do it. I have a lot of confidence in this. But at the end of the day, you need to get referrals for anybody you work with. Cause I started reaching out because I was like, why the hell, like, how the hell did this happen? You know, like I know better than this. You know, this was like recent. This wasn't 2 or 3 years ago. This was recent. And so I start calling, I start like going around looking to see if anyone else had the same experience. Lo and behold, other people did too. The exact same designer, the exact same experience. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I'm an idiot for not doing that due diligence. And so Got to get referrals. And guys, I'm going to tell you this flat out. If you are going to use a designer, I know a lot of designers out there. Okay. And there's some really good ones and some really bad ones. Please reach out to me. I might not know everybody. Let me be clear on that. There's a lot of designers out there. I might not know everybody, but I do know a lot of really good designers. And I've worked with a lot and our clients have worked with a lot. And so I can tell, like, just reach out to me if you are considering someone. If I don't know, I'm sorry. I'll tell you that flat out. But I will do my best. Please, please, please just reach out to me though, because I can tell you and help you, from making a terrible, design work is tricky. Not the design side, because people can virtually design all day long. It's the project management and seeing the property through the finish line. So lesson learned. So Kentucky now, we're about to launch Frankfurt. I'm actually going out there this week. I'll probably do a whole episode and some updates on that property because that's a mega property, like 10,000 square feet. Huge, huge, huge. I'm super excited for it. I'm spoiling stuff here, but guys, we put in a mini putt-putt bourbon trail themed, like little golf course, you know, little putt-putt thing. It's super cool, like barrels and horses on it. And it's awesome. I'm really, really excited. The pond looks cool. There's a beach and a little dock and all this cool stuff. So anyway, I'm really excited about that property. We're going to go see it this week. But that property, we did something a little bit different this time. We went, so number one, we went to probably a more reputable designer, I'll say. And she had already done some other projects. You know, I knew her and vetted her a little better. Anyway, so she started on that one, but we ran into an issue being in Kentucky with contractors, because this was a very, very big project. We're talking like we spent over $300,000 in just the design, decor, amenities, renovations, and updates we're having. And guys, we weren't doing any kitchen or bathroom updates. We were painting, but 10,000 square feet, there's a lot. Okay. So replacing lights and fixtures and, you know, the 3-car garage, turning into a speakeasy, adding the putt, you know, all these different things going to the property, it adds up. It's very, very expensive. And so we were running into an issue with contractors. So I called a good friend of mine, John Hodge, who has a company. And if you guys are interested in that piece where he'll actually go and bring his crew and go do everything. Hey, John, can you come help me? And he said, yeah, I will. Because he does short-term rentals for himself and his portfolio. And he's thinking about expanding to do other people's, especially after this project. So anyway, I had John come out. And I mean, the communication was there, the designer and the contractor on top of it. But it was still tricky. And what I mean by that is we still ran into an issue where the designers, you know, they're ordering these things and then the contractors have a punch list or a scope of work, essentially what they're supposed to do. But both sometimes there was like, well, hey, for example, you know, we ordered hot tubs. So the designer ordered the hot tubs, they were delivered, but who's supposed to hook them up? Well, the designer team's not going to hook them up. Well, if we don't have that on the punch list for the contractor's like, well, we're not going to just like hook these things up for free. So like, there's just like little pieces of that, or like putting the hot tubs together, or, you know, the sauna, or just little things like in the movie theater, like some of the lighting and things like that. It's like really dark. And, you know, the contractor's like, well, look, like we should probably put overhead lights, but they're not doing the design side. They're just like taking a punch list and going through the punch list, but then they're actually at the property and they're noticing things that might be missing. And so what we're finding is that even with a competent designer and a competent contractor, if they're not on the same page and working together, it gets really tricky. Now, I'm not saying these two didn't, and there's always going to be hiccups, but this was a lot smoother than in the Asheville property for sure, a lot faster too. I mean, they did it in January, February, and this is like towards the end of March and they're already finished. So like 3 months, you know, in and out. And it was big, 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 big project. But still, you know, and it's made me really realize that, you know, these companies that kind of do it all in house, there's a lot of value to that, where they can internally talk and work together and they have their own team of contractors and they're, you know, working and communicating internally. So a lot of these things where it's like, you know, we're looking at something and we're like, this isn't quite finished. Like what's missing here? You know, for example, we did this big speakeasy in the garage, and in the garage, like literally like the lights in the garage, it looked like a hospital. They did those like, you know, the ceiling lights with the, like it looked like hospital panel lights. And I was like, guys, this is not sexy at all. And, you know, just the contractors were like, well, this is what we were told to put in. The designers were like, well, we forgot to figure out what it was going to be, or, you know, you didn't put that on the list. It was like, well, let's figure it out. It's got to look good. You know, like it's obvious that it doesn't. And so anyway, there's a lot of like he said, she said kind of stuff. Like, oh, we thought the contractor was going to do this, or the designer's supposed to do that, and so on. And so and we really had to get involved in the day to day there to oversee, to make sure that things were done right, like full finished. You know, it's like they're really, really good at getting it 90% of the way there, but they're still at 10%, you know, that those like little finishes that get left out. And that can be really tricky. And so I'm going to do a part two episode. It'll just be me talking, but I want to share some of my other recent learned experiences beyond just like working with designers and contractors. But what am I seeing in the marketplace today with short-term rentals? If you're looking to acquire today, how difficult is it? You know, what are some of the struggles that we're dealing with? Because we have lots of clients looking and, you know, people going under contract every single week. But what are we struggling with? And how can you learn from that to find the best deals possible and get a short-term rental up and going that's going to cash flow soon? So be sure to pay attention to that episode. That's going to be me solo. So hopefully you guys will stick around. I will watch the statistics on that one, because if people drop off, I'll be like, you know what? Maybe I won't do any solo episodes, but we shall see. So I will see you on the next episode, Cashflow Podcast.